As the Lord shall be pleased to help me, I shall call your attention to a subject you will find in the Epistle to the Ephesians, chapter 2, and the 20th and 21st verses, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief corner stone, in whom all the building fitly framed together groweth unto an holy temple in the Lord. Chapter 2, the Epistle to the Ephesians, and verses 20 and 21. This word is a great word to contemplate. The subject is to do with building. And the builder is God. The Apostle Paul uses the same illustration to the church at Corinth. Ye are God's building. And godly David gives a word of warning. Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. And now this building referred to in this beautiful scripture is the church of Christ. See my soul a structure rising from the wreck of Adam's race. And now sometimes that is to be seen by the eyes of faith, that in the midst of all earth's chaos and confusion and the wickedness and woe of they that dwell on the earth, there is yet a building being raised by God according to his own pattern, his design. And that building will go on until it is completed. And a wonderful mercy, if it can be said of you and me, as the Apostle Paul sums up this beautiful scripture, in whom ye also are builded together for an habitation of God through the Spirit. Ye also. And now I want, as the Lord to help me, to look at the subject from two or three viewpoints. And I want to look just a little at the setting of it, for this epistle was penned to the godly Ephesians. And I have many times thought how the Apostle Paul must have felt when he was inspired of God to pen this epistle to them. As you read in the Acts of the Apostles, in his journeyings to preach the gospel, as he felt led by the Spirit of God to do so, he came first of all to Ephesus, and he found a little church there, and the membership of it was 12. And he began to ask them questions. I have no doubt whatever that his intentions were wonderfully kind, if he could, by the grace of God, do them some good. And he found that while they were right at heart, oh, they did possess the root of the matter, but as yet they were not well established in the faith. And so he was helped of God to give them instruction. And he did not set them aside and condemn them because of their ignorance when he said to them, have ye received the Holy Ghost since ye believed? And they gave the answer, "We have not so much as heard whether there be any Holy Ghost." Oh, he did not cut them off, but he was inspired of God and helped to show unto them the way of God more perfectly. And I turn aside to make a comment. I wish, even nowadays, that there was much more of that attended to by people who were taught of God when they come into contact with people among whom it can be, of whom it can be said, as it was of Jehoshaphat, "There are some good things in thee, but there are other things that you do not approve of." And instead of cutting them off and condemning, to show them from the word of God wherein is the good and right way, if so be they may be brought out more clear cut in the things of God and brought down four square on the foundation upon which the Church of Christ is built. I am sure it is that which would be honouring to the Lord if people more often sought to behave like that than to let prejudice work and suspicion and perhaps set people aside as not knowing much, if anything at all, of the things of God. And now the Apostle Paul, I've said sometimes, was such a large-hearted man, and he was glad to find this little church at Ephesus, and the Lord helped him to stay there a while, and it was built up. And remember, the wee church at the first, with the 12 members therein on the church roll, was the nucleus of it. The little one, as it were, began to set out to become 1,000. And you find that as the Apostle Paul was preaching there, as you read in the Acts of the Apostles, this was the blessed effect. And many that believed came and confessed and showed their deeds. Many of them also which used curious arts brought their books together and burned them before all men. And they counted the price of them and found it 50,000 pieces of silver. So mightily grew the word of God and prevailed. Yes. And then soon after that, there came that mighty happening in the Ephesus marketplace when the Apostle Paul was in great danger. But the Lord appeared on his behalf, when they cried out, "Great is Diana of the Ephesians," for 2 hours. Try to imagine it. It was indeed a riot. And yet, the Lord was watching over the Apostle Paul, and in due time, he went on his way and did the work of God ordained for him to do elsewhere. And then there came the word of the Lord to him to pen this epistle to the Ephesians. And I do like the opening word of this chapter where the subject is, "And you, happy Christians, who were dead in trespasses and sins." You find the Apostle Paul, as he went about preaching the gospel, he did not lose hope regarding the preaching of it, because he knew it was the power of God unto salvation to every one which believeth. And he had evidence upon evidence in the success that attended his labours, so that you can well understand how he used this word, "Unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us." And so the Apostle Paul, as he penned this opening word, and you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins. I am sure in my own mind that he went back to the Ephesus marketplace, and that which God had done in the little church at Ephesus before. And he thought of these people, godless Gentiles, wrought on by the Spirit of God, and the good work begun in them was carried on, I say this with great reverence, very speedily. Because when the epistle to the Ephesians was penned to the church at Ephesus, the church at Ephesus was not even then very old. Yet you find in the opening chapter here, there are the deep things of God. And there is no doubt whatever that they obtained help from God to enter into the teaching set forth by the apostle in this beautiful epistle. And yet there were some scriptures in this opening chapter that some of us who have been preaching the gospel a long time would need God to give us, I say this with great reverence, extra special aid to preach from it. Because there is a deep that couches beneath, and you dare not take subjects unless you have the help of God to unfold the heavenly mysteries therein. And now, the Apostle Paul reminds these godly Ephesians of the mercy which God had shown to them. And then he goes on to encourage them. And in our context, he says, "Now therefore, ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God." And in this chapter, he unfolds that mystery whereby the Gentiles were ordained of God to enjoy the same mercy that he had bestowed upon the Jews as a nation, even the Israel of God. And he speaks about them both being made one in Christ Jesus. And he says, "But now, in Christ Jesus, ye, who sometimes were far off, are made nigh by the blood of Christ. For he is our peace, who hath made both one, and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us." Meaning that the way is open for poor sinners, whatever their nationality, Jew or Gentile, to draw near to God. And it is a word proclaimed to every kindred, tribe and tongue. "Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace to obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need." And now I come to this subject, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief corner stone. And now you find, as you look through the Old Testament and search into what the prophets had to say, you will find that they were inspired of God to set forth Jesus Christ as the one foundation of that church which was being built up even in Old Testament times. Although there is not so much said about it in Old Testament times, although it is referred to as the church in the wilderness when Israel were journeying there in their wanderings for 40 years. But if you can follow this along, you remember that Moses was given instructions from God in building the tabernacle, see that thou make all things according to the pattern shown to thee in the mount. And when long years afterwards Solomon was raised up by God to build the temple, then God gave to his godly father David the pattern of it. And David was helped of God to give Solomon all the instruction as to how that temple was to be built. And he declares that he had it by revelation, by the Spirit of God being upon him. And now that is to teach us what this word brings before us, in whom all the building, fitly framed together, groweth unto an holy temple in the Lord. The meaning is, the Church of Christ, from Adam's day to this, every jot and tittle of it has been that which God has brought to pass according to his own eternal purposes and his own divine pattern. And therefore, when you by faith can see it, you view it as fitly framed together. It is a wonderful building, the building of God, the Church of Christ. And Jesus Christ declared, upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And dear friends, especially you dear young people, as you live out your lives and you are taught of God, as I humbly hope some of you are, if not all, you will find as you go on in your life's journey and darker days than these come upon the world, and maybe days when of a truth it will seem as if hell itself is more than ever let loose on the earth, you will find, being taught of God, that it will be a wonderful help to you to contemplate in the Word of God that while hell itself is let loose, God is at work. I will work, and who shall let it? And this building of God is going on every day, all day, every night, all night. There is a wonderful continuation in it. And the Lord added unto the church daily such as should be saved. And so, the foundation, having been laid, and also well laid, the Spirit of God is working north, south, east and west, worldwide, building up this church. People of every kindred, tribe and tongue, according to eternal purposes, as you read, as many as were ordained to eternal life believed, and all who were helped to do so are laid upon this blessed foundation, the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. You do not need the preacher to tell you who the foundation is. The apostle Paul said, regarding his own ministry, I determined to know nothing among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified. And if you go through the prophets, you might find that wonderfully helpful and instructive if you've got time, and you might try to make time to do it. Go through the prophets, begin at Isaiah, and you see how much there is recorded in Isaiah to do with Jesus Christ, and where he is set forth as the foundation. Yea, Isaiah definitely uses that same illustration that I am trying to preach from at this time. Therefore, thus saith the Lord God, behold, I lay in Zion for a foundation, a stone, a tried stone, a precious cornerstone, a sure foundation. He that believeth shall not make haste. And many other beautiful scriptures setting forth the gospel according to Isaiah. And you will find some of the same character in Jeremiah and in Ezekiel and in Micah and in Joel, and you might find something to do with this foundation in all the prophets recorded in the Old Testament scripture, in whom all the building fitly framed together groweth unto an holy temple in the Lord. And here is a thought I do not want to lose, therefore I put it into words. Do let this encourage you. Every day, this building is growing. Remember that. You look round the world as it is. You look round the so-called professing Church of Christ, and it is indeed in a very sorry plight, honeycombed with heresy and hypocrisy. And you cannot always discern the true Church of Christ that the Spirit of God is building up. But here a little, there a little, again and again, you get a glimpse of it, and glad you are to see that it is being fitly framed together, and it is ever growing. The Church of Christ can only know that change till time shall cease to be and the work of God is completed regarding the church which he has designed to build and which he inhabits. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, blessed Trinity, only know one change, and that is to increase. So that you need not be overmuch cast down when you may see causes of truth decaying and dying out, and when you see how little God seems to be regarded and worshipped here and there. But somewhere the Spirit of God is fulfilling eternal purposes, and he is at work, blessed be his name, building up this church. Although you and I may never see where he is building, yet we can humbly thank God that we know he is at work and that he will not fail to fulfill his purposes. I will work, and who shall let it? And now this foundation, the prophets proclaimed it, and alas, how few there were who seemed to have ears to hear what they proclaimed. And the apostles, as they were sent forth to preach from Pentecostal days onward, they delighted, as God enabled them, to set forth Jesus Christ as the church's one foundation. Other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Yes, neither is there salvation in any other. There is given under heaven among men none other name whereby we can be saved. And now I say a little about this foundation, and that is, first of all, it was laid in eternal purposes. It is a wonderful consideration that God had it in his mind that heaven should be filled with sinners saved by grace. And that being in his eternal mind, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth, and that the earth should be his workshop. And that this building, even the Church of Christ, should rise, and all those ordained to life eternal by God the Father, as time goes on, what do you sing about it? The appointed time rolls on apace, not to propose, but called by grace to change the heart, renew the will, and turn the feet to Zion's hill. And God has been doing that. Oh, for thousands of years. It would not seem, according to what you read in the early pages of the Word of God, that for a while there were very many additions made to the Church of Christ then, but that is not for us to inquire about, but we can believe that there were many more than you and I may understand. All the Father ordained to life eternal in any age, the Spirit of God will deal with them as he alone can do. And how does he deal with them? This opening verse I read again, and that will tell you. In you hath he quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins. Yes. Then this foundation, while it was laid in eternal purposes, those eternal purposes in their fruition were that in the fullness of time, God would send forth his own Son, made of a woman, made under the law, and that he would do love's redeeming work. As verily man, he came down into this world to save sinners, and that being verily man, he might live under the law and keep it, and thereby work out a righteousness for poor sinners, who otherwise would have none of their own wherein to appear before God. So he lived his wonderful life. And then he went up Calvary's hill and died. And what did he say ere he died? "It is finished," cried the Lord in his dying minute. Holy Ghost, repeat the word, full salvation's in it. Then the foundation was actually laid. It was a blessed reality. And all the Old Testament saints who had been wrought on by the Spirit of God and gone to heaven on the credit of what Christ Jesus would come down into the world to do, could rejoice that love's redeeming work was done. Yes. And are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. I can only give you hints about it. And now this foundation being laid in that which was done on Calvary's cross and in the life that Jesus lived and in the blessed fact that he is now at God the Father's right hand for sinners interceding, all whom God ordains to preach delight to lay that foundation in their ministry as grace is given. We preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. It is delightful work when the Spirit of God helps men ordained to preach to do what their soul delights in of a truth. He shall be exalted and extolled and be very high. Yes. Berridge says, "I try and try again to publish Jesus' worth, and fain I would but never can set half his riches forth. But you will find every sinner taught of God delights to hear those whom God has sent forth to preach, set forth Jesus Christ as the church's one foundation. And they are on the stretch, if so be they can have some evidence that they are being built upon it, and that their religion is that which God is the author of, and that it would do to live by and to die by. Much might be said along that line of thought. But then there is just another viewpoint of this foundation. It will be always laid in the affections of a sinner when he is born again, because he will know, as the Spirit of God begins to lead him into the truth, if ever my poor soul is saved, 'tis Christ must be the way. And he will know not the labor of my hands can fulfill the law's demands. And he will be like the wise builder who dig deep, if so be he could get down to a sure foundation for his hope of heaven to be founded upon it. And that means this: wherefore the rather brethren give diligence to make your calling and your election sure. And now there is another viewpoint of this foundation. Let us look a little at the superstructure, for that must be in accordance with the nature of the foundation. And are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. And now you find the apostle Peter has a word parallel to this scripture: ye also as lively stones are built up a spiritual house. And now do mark that adjective, spiritual. There you see the nature of the Church of Christ. It is irrespective of any denominational label whatever. It is a spiritual house. It is not to do with this church order or that. He that is joined to the Lord is one spirit. There is a knitting of the spirit among all who are found in the Church of Christ, as they come in contact with each other and learn of the dealings of God with each other as they tell them out. There is a dovetailing in their soul's experience. There is a flowing together to the goodness of the Lord. And this word here is helpful: in whom all the building fitly framed together groweth. And so you find that in your soul's affections. There is a growing together, a flowing together. Much might be said under that heading. But I want just to look at it from this viewpoint. The subject is very great, and the time is running on. And now, in this being built upon the foundation, the lively stones must be made manifest. And first of all, they're only stones. They are in nature's quarry. And you find a word there which is helpful in the book of Isaiah, where he says, hearken to me, ye that follow after righteousness, ye that seek the Lord. Look unto the rock whence ye are hewn, and to the hole of the pit whence ye are digged. And now, you do not need any preacher to tell you that the stone cannot move out of the quarry where it is on its own volition, its own initiative. The thing is impossible, and it is just madness to suggest that any stone can do so if you appeal to them to come forth from where they have long laid. Oh, that is an impossibility. The stone must be made a lively stone. And that brings you to the starting point. Ye must be born again. The Spirit of God, sometimes he uses terrible things in righteousness. Sometimes he only uses gentle methods in his dealings, like Lydia, whose heart the Lord opened. And it says, she heard us. There I judge the dealings of the Spirit of God were gentle, but whether gentle or more severe. The stone is brought forth, dug up out of nature's quarry, separated from the world. Yes, and given a new nature. And that stone, a sinner born again, becomes a lively stone in his apprehensions that he is a sinner with a never-dying soul and that he is journeying to an eternal destiny, either to heaven or hell. He is made lively with solemn convictions of his state before God with whom he has to do. Yes, and sometimes made lively with sighs and cries and groans all along this line of thought. God be merciful to me, a sinner. Say unto my soul, I am thy salvation. And he is made lively that it is only as God in his mercy makes known that he is one for whom Jesus Christ died on Calvary's cross, that he has any hope whatever of belonging to the Church of Christ. And his sighs and cries are like the psalmist when he said, say unto my soul, I am thy salvation. You can remember, some of you, when no more being a stone, and in the world and of it as you were born and living accordingly, you felt something living and moving in your breast, and that you had an aching void which this world could not fill, and the things of God became attractive to you. Yea, they were made a reality. And from that time it could be said of you, behold he prayeth, behold she prayeth. Yes, and your great concern was to be found as a lively stone in the Church of Christ. Glad you were to sing what the hymn writer says, may I be found a living stone in Salem's house above, and help to sing before the throne free grace and dying love. There is another thought about these lively stones. All of them are squared. Squared under God's law. Stripped of all their fancied meekness to approach the dread I am. You find, although people cannot always talk about a law work, and sometimes those who preach set up too rigid a standard as to what a law work really is, the Spirit of God is a sovereign and he works as he pleases. And by the law is the knowledge of sin. So that all who are taught of God, all these lively stones built upon this blessed foundation, belonging to the Church of Christ, being built for eternity, each one, every one, is made to realize, if thou, Lord, shouldest mark iniquity, O Lord, who shall stand? If my soul is sent to hell, thy righteous law approves it well. And they know that it is an utter impossibility for them to have any hope in God from the doings of the great I, because the axe is laid to the root of it, and they are brought down foursquare on this blessed foundation which God has laid in Zion. And then you find in this wonderful Church of Christ that there is what is set forth in this epistle. It is a beautiful subject too. The unity of the Spirit. These stones, lively stones, are not only built sure and firm and lasting on the foundation, Jesus Christ himself, but they are united to each other by a blessed, a wondrous cement, and that is the cement of love. Oh, the Saviour said, by this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one to another. And that may be one of the earliest evidences that some of you will find that God is at work in you when you look on people taught of God and feel toward them different than you ever felt before, and find in your heart a concern with them numbered I would be now and in eternity. It is that blessed unity of the Spirit. The Spirit of God is at work, producing that wondrous feeling within. And it says, he that loveth is born of God. There is just another thought about these lively stones that is very important. And are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. And then it says, do listen. I know you do, but I say that to emphasize what I want to say next. In whom all the building fitly framed together. And now that is to teach us that every one of these lively stones in the Church of Christ is placed where God has ordained them to be. You might remember that, and it might help you to be content where you are, and to be content with such things as ye have, and to remember he shall choose our inheritance for us. And these lively stones are not all the same size. Oh no. My old pastor at Westreet Croydon used to speak about little filling in stones to fill up what appeared to be a gap, yet it was essential for the unity of the building and the strength of it. And so there is a word like this, even so, it is not the will of your Father in heaven that one of these little ones should perish. Yes. Whatever the size of the lively stones, they're framed together to a beautiful, divine pattern, a perfect pattern, and just as God would have it to be. And it may be it will help you to feel that if you are where God would have you to be, then he can help you to be content to be there, grant you grace, however difficult it may be, to remain where you are. Much might be said along that line of thought, but I was coming to this viewpoint of these stones. And now every one, whatever its size, is fashioned. Fashioned according to a beautiful scripture. Be ye conformed to the image of his Son. And now you will see, the Spirit of God in this building, as it is framed together, maybe at first as the stones are placed therein, they're just rough and need quite a deal of fashioning. Well, the Spirit of God, as they live out their lives where he has ordained they should be, as his own graving tools, and he may use the graving tool of affliction, or he may use the graving tool of adversity, or he may use the graving tool of bereavement, or it may be the graving tool of persecution. The Spirit of God is at no loss for graving tools to use. According to that purpose, He designs for every lively stone to be fashioned that they might reflect the Spirit of Christ in their lips and life. Yes, and be like you sing sometimes. As the image in the glass answers thee, beholder's face, thus unto my heart appear. Print thy own resemblance there. What is it makes the people of God to be attractive to you? Think of Barnabas. When he came to Antioch and saw the grace of God, he was glad. And now the grace of God is an abstract principle. You cannot see it actually, but you can see the fruits and effects of it. And you can see how people are living and take knowledge that they have been with Jesus. And that is how lively stones should be living. Remember that. But I must come along to the Amen. And are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ Himself being the chief cornerstone. You see, dear friends, these lively stones, as it were, by the graving tool, they're fashioned and they're polished and they're made to reflect whose they are and whom they serve. And I like this word, in whom all the building fitly framed together. How wonderful this is to contemplate. And now think, here are you and I under Union Chapel roof. We hope quite a few of us, we would like it to be all of us, are lively stones. We hope God is framing us together into the Church of Christ. And now think not only of what is being done in the land you and I are living in. Think how the Spirit of God is at work, north, south, east and west, even to earth's remotest bounds. And every sinner born again has got a niche to fill in this wonderful church of Christ. And God has ordained that niche. Thus it is said, in whom all the building fitly framed together. You see, it is fit that you should be where you are. God has framed it in His purposes that you should be where you are and what you are by His grace. But look at this word. In whom all the building fitly framed together groweth unto an holy temple in the Lord. And now you will not find any church of Christ that is of a truth made up of lively stones and framed together by God. You will not find any church of Christ anywhere but what? When you hear them in their prayers, whether it be in private or public, they are praying along this line. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Great God, thy kingdom come, with reverence we would pray. May the eternal three in one His sovereign scepter sway. And how glad you are sometimes to hear good news about it, that here and there and yonder the Church of Christ is growing by godly additions, and church fellowships are being built up. Oh, it is good tidings to some of us, and we should like to have some more evidence of it under Union Chapel roof. And remember, regarding this Church of Christ, of which I have said only a little, not all that I should like to have said, think of this concluding summary of the Apostle Paul, in whom ye also are builded together for inhabitation of God through the Spirit. Ye also. Is it ye also? Let your consciences tell you. Blessed be God, it is true of many of you. God grant it might be the truth concerning every one of you, in whom ye also are builded together for an habitation of God through the Spirit. Amen.